す初めの一歩、目の一歩踏み出す、目の一歩踏み出す初めの一歩。
This is H10, Hanshin Tigers English News, where Hanshin Tigers fans all around the world unite and catch up on the team that had a fish land on the field mid-game, causing a delay in the action. Some of you may remember this. It was just last year, May the 8th, 2016, against the Yakult Swallows, when a bird flew overhead, dropped a dead fish right in left field, making Valentin freak out, and Mauro Gomez's at-bat be delayed. Hi everyone, I'm your host T-Ray. Today is May the 22nd, 2017, and this is episode 62. Welcome to the show. It is great to have you along with us today. Today we are going to very briefly talk about our current number 62, who goes by the name of Kai Ueda. He has been with the team for, this would be his third season. He was drafted with our last pick of the 2014 draft. He came straight out of high school. He is a shortstop with lightning speed, but not much going at the plate. So he has not been able to have much time on the top squad. Last year, he got action in one game. He was a pinch runner. He tried to steal second base on the first pitch, failed, sat down, the end. But apparently, he's doing fairly well on the farm, and Mr. Kakefu likes him a lot, so we may end up seeing him before season's end. Keep that in mind. Number 62, Kai Ueda. But let's look back in history of the Hanshin Tigers at the season 1962. Special year in club history. This was the very first season in which the Hanshin Tigers won the Central League Division pennant. The Central League pennant, I should say. This was the first... it wasn't the first pennant in team history. We had, I think it was three or maybe five during the single league era, but the league split in 1950. And so from then until 1962, we went 12 years without winning a title. So our two main pitchers that year were Masaaki Koyama and Minoru Murayama, and they basically led us to the title alone. I mean, they won 52 games between the two of them. The team only won 75 games. So more than two-thirds of the game won by those two. Our bats were not great this season in particular. Our top home run guy had only 15 home runs. We had another guy with 14. That would be Mike Salomko, who was our first major foreign acquisition way back in the day. One interesting story about that season, in Game 7, it was do or die, and we put Koyama on the mound, and he was doing fairly well, but he allowed, I think, a run in the top of the 10th. Yeah, he gave up a run in the top of the 10th. It was looking pretty bad. He thought the game was over, so he went and chilled out in the shower room. He was already in the ofuro, in the bathtub, because he thought the game was over, but our guy Eiji Fuji tied it up in the bottom of the inning, and so we had a top of the 11th. But since he was already out of uniform and not ready to go, that was it. We had to bring in a reliever, you know, stone cold. And it ended up that in the 12th inning, we gave up the final run of the series, the series losing run that was given up by Murayama on a home run. So we lost game 7 in that fashion. So we avoided or we were unable to be Nippon Ichi that year. There you have it. Hopefully every week, for the time being, we're going to be having history lessons. In the meantime, let's look at the action from this past week. So we started the week at Koshien Stadium. We played three against the lowly Chunichi Dragons, and this is what went down. On Tuesday, we brought Takumi Akiyama to the mound, and they brought, I think his name is Shota Suzuki. Anyways, a young guy. And we got the better of him real early, because in the bottom of the first inning, with two runners on and two outs, Masahiro Nakatani hit a three-run home run into the left field stand. So 3-0 for us. They got one back in the top of the fifth with a two-base hit. Pardon me, it was a single with a runner on second base. But then in the bottom of the inning, with the bases loaded, Kento Itohara hit a bases-clearing double. So now it's 6-1 for the good guys. And the very next inning, with one runner on, Yoshio Itoi hit a two-run home run, a line-drive home run, into the right field stands for an 8-1 lead. And that's how this one ended. Takumi Akiyama went all 9 innings, striking out 12, allowing just 6 hits and walking 1. So it was a very good outing for him. Tigers start the week on a great note, wouldn't you say? So a couple of things to mention in this one, just some finer details you may have missed if you didn't catch the game, or even if you were watching it with, you know, one eye while doing other stuff. One was that Yamato got called out on a stolen base attempt, and it looked like he was out by a long shot, but I caught a replay, and man, he twisted, and actually he avoided the tag, so he was safe. Beautiful slide. If I get a chance, I'll try to put a link to that in the show notes, so go back and check that out. By the way, I said Akiyama had one walk, but actually it was a hit batter. He did not walk anybody and struck out 12. So his strikeout to walks ratio is incredible. Beautiful. Okay. And in fact, the one run that he allowed, it was the double that led off the inning could have been caught by Itohara. It was like a bloop double, where Itohara was actually there in position. He had run back from second base, but they called it a hit. And so too bad. We had a double steal for the first time ever. First time this season, I should say. Yamato and Itoi in the first inning, they stole second and third. Third and second, respectively, I should say. Let's see. Hanshin only had 6 hits on this night. We still scored 8 runs because we got 8 walks. And we made our hits count. Like I said, those 3 hits, right? They had the Nakatani home run, the Itohara bases clearing double, and the Itoi home run that provided all 8 runs for us. Another really cool thing, and that was the last inning of the game for Akiyama. First, he faced Diane Viciedo, who hit a deep fly ball to right field right at the wall. Fukudome caught it. Or, pardon me, I think it was Nakatani already at this point. He had replaced Fukudome in the field. Caught it right at the wall, and then they got a guy on base with a hit. And then I turned to the person next to me. I said, hey, you know what? Don't worry. We're going to get a double play and get out of this. It's going to be game over. Well, Alex Guerrero comes to the plate, and he smokes one to deep left. And Takayama's going back. He jumps at the wall, catches it. The runner that was on base thought it was a hit, and he had already taken off. And so Takayama threw the ball back into the infield. The relay from Yamato was on time, so it was a game-ending double play. Not in the way you'd expected, but still amazing. Tigers win 8-1. Great game. And by the way, I was at the field. I think I already mentioned that. And after the game, I got to meet up with Rafael Dolis. He didn't pitch in the game, so he was feeling pretty good. He was nice and rested. But I was at the game with his brother and his girlfriend. And that was fun because a friend of mine, Mark, actually arranged for us to get the tickets. Now, let me tell you a brief story about what happened after the game, because it was kind of just something that you don't see happen every day. So me and this guy, Mark, and we had a couple other people with us, but they had to leave early. So it was me, Mark, Dolis's brother, and Delise's girlfriend were hanging out outside the stadium, just kind of waiting, biding our time until he was ready to come out and join us. And we just wanted to make sure that you know, the two guests got to him safely, because they don't get to the stadium very much. Anyhow, Delise's brother, as it may not surprise you, looks a little bit like Delise. He is, in fact, a Delise himself. So he's standing there, and he's trying to be, you know, low-key and stuff, and he's kind of crouching down and playing on his phone, but then he has to stand up every now and then, and this lady comes up with her son. Her son must have been about 8 years old, and she asked in English, like, oh, can we take a picture with you? And she didn't really know who she was asking or anything like that, but she still kind of was there, and Delise's brother said, yeah, sure, so took the picture. And then Mark, sorry, Mark, I think this is kind of a bad move on your part, but he said, that's Dolise's brother, and this is Dolise's girlfriend. And the lady kind of freaked out, like, really, really? Are you serious? And then, you know, her, you know, raising her voice and getting excited drew the attention of other people. So other people said, hey, I want a picture too. And they didn't really fully understand, but word was passing around anyways that this is Dolise's brother. And then, you know, as rumors spread and as things go from truth to half-truth to non-truth, you know, it ended up that people thought it was Dolise. And so people were like, Dolise is here. And there were literally over 100 people mobbing us. And so they had to make a quick exit. And I was yelling at the crowd, it's not Dolise, you dummies. Like, why would he be out here in street clothes roaming around amongst the people after a game? You're crazy. I didn't exactly say that. But anyhow, we ended up, escaping somehow. And then we took a taxi with Dolise, or we took separate taxis, and we met, had a bit of dinner, and then we went home. So it was a pretty fun night for me. It's always fun to meet the players, and you can check the website and find the article that I wrote about hanging out with Dolise after the game. So that was that. That was game one against the Dragons. In the second game, we brought Atsushi Nomi to the mound, and they brought Raul Valdez to the mound. And this one was truly a pitcher's duel right from the start. Nomi was locked in, as was Valdez. And we got the first run of the game on a solo home run by Fumihito Haraguchi. So it is 1-0. They tie it up in the top of the seventh. This was, I forget if Nomi had been pulled just before or just after. I think just after this, Hirata got a hit with runners on second and third. Fortunately, it only scored one run, but it's tied 1-1. And then it took until the bottom of the eighth when Takayama smoked one over the center fielder's head for a double, and we had a runner on base, runner on second base. And so that was the go-ahead and the game-winning run. Takayama, by the way, appeared in this one as a pinch hitter only. And so 2-1 final, we take the first two games of this one. Tough luck loss for Valdez. Like I said, Hanshin got three hits all game. Two of them counted to score runs. Chunichi had eight hits, which is not spectacular either, but they only got one run. So good on us. Yeah, Nomi, though, he was dealing. I mean, after six innings, he had only thrown 59 pitches, and it looked like he was going to go the distance. It looked like he might throw a Maddox, which, you know, is a complete game shutout without going over 100 pitches. But he got into a bit of trouble in the seventh inning, and he got pulled. So poor Valdez. Again, you know, he went almost the distance. He's gone 9 straight quality starts now for the Dragons, just one win to show for it. Just goes to show you how pathetic the Dragons team is this year. This is the first time for us to get a win on 3 or fewer hits. First time in 2 years. So, yeah, don't want to go through that again. It's not fun to watch as a fan to see us only getting 3 hits. But, you know, the end result is the same. It's a win. So we're good. We're good. I think that's 4 straight now for us. Going into Thursday, and we've got Randy Messenger on the mound. And usually this is a guarantee for a win, or at least a win. And this one started out where it looked like it could be a win, because in the first inning, again, we got to them, and again, it was Nakatani. It was a double this time, hit to right field, and we scored the first run of the game, so it's 1-0, and it looked like we had a chance for another. There were runners on second and third after Nakatani's hit, but we could not parlay that into anything else. In the fifth inning, they got one run back, and that was on a grounder to pitcher. But they had a runner on third, and it was a high chopper, and so there was no chance to get that runner at home. So tie game. And then in the top of the eighth, again, it was Hirata with the RBI. This time it was a double, and so it's 2-1. And that's how this one ends. We lost 2-1. Messenger had a stellar outing, 8 innings pitched, 2 runs against, 12 strikeouts, and the loss. So really unfortunate. Side note on Messenger, in this one, he passed Kei Igawa, the legend, the Yankees legend, just kidding, the Tigers legend, for 6th on the club's all-time strikeouts list. So very impressive for Messenger. Again, I've got the all-time greats and the stats on the website, so feel free to check that out anytime. A couple of other things of note. In the 4th inning, it looked like we had a good chance, because usually, you know, the bottom of the order is where all rallies die, or where all, you know, no chances are born. But Umeno and Messenger got back-to-back hits in the bottom of the 4th. Of course, it was with 2 outs, but we got back to the top of the order and then ended up getting nothing out of it. It would have been nice to reward Messenger and Umeno both for their, you know, rare hits. They're both hitting about the same, actually, around $170, $180. We got nothing out of that, so that's too bad. I mean, that could have really turned the tides of the game, or at least, you know, added to our lead and made it to put it out of reach for the Dragons, but we didn't. Iwazaki came in the top of the 9th and struck out 3, so good for him. He is on a mini roll of his own here, just adding that extra layer of solidification to our bullpen. So we like that. We don't like the loss, but we win the series 2-1. I predicted a 2-1 series win for us, so I was right. I would have liked to have seen the sweep, of course, but it was not in the cards. So let's move on. Just as the Tigers did, they moved on to Tokyo to face the Tokyo Yakult Swallows. And on Friday, we brought Iwasada to the mound, and they brought 2015 backup first-round pick Juri Hara. Of course, the Swallows wanted Takayama, but they lost the lottery pick. They end up with Hara. who did great. Through five innings, he only allowed one hit to us. But then he allowed three straight hits to open the sixth inning. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Before that, of course, Iwasada and first innings do not go together well, and they didn't on this occasion either. He allowed a 2 RBI single to Obiki, who is not much of a slugger. But, you know, it's because Iwasada allowed the bases to get stuffed. I think he had one or two walks in that first inning. And so does it 2-0 Yakult, and then a couple of innings later, a Ballantyne home run. Pardon me, not a home run. It was an RBI. We'll get to that home run later. It was an RBI single, so now it's 3-0. In the sixth inning, like I said, we got three straight hits. One of those was a Hayata Ito pinch hit home run. So 3-1, and the very next two guys got on base, so it was looking like a great chance. You know, we've got our number 3, 4, 5 hitters coming up. With guys on base, nothing. So 3-1, and that continues until the eighth inning. In the eighth inning, Takayama hits a solo home run. And now it's 3-2, looking great, but no. Bottom of the eighth, guy. We have Fujikawa, the Cugester, coming in and serving up some dinner for big boy Ballantyne, who smokes one over the left field wall and then some. So solo home run, 4-2. This one ends as a 4-2 loss. Iwasada gets the loss, of course, deservedly so. He struggled mightily in this one. Let's see. Yeah, in 6 starts this season, Iwasada has allowed run or runs in the first inning of 5 of those starts, totaling 11 runs in the first inning of his starts. Talk about a guy that needs not a closing pitcher, but an opening pitcher. And I know we tossed that idea around on Facebook a little bit. Yeah, why not? Why not? I don't know. It couldn't hurt to at least try. Bring in like Iwasaki for the first inning or something like that. Anyhow, Iwasada got farmed after this one, and deservedly so. Let's move on. That was a loss and our second straight as a team. And on Saturday, we bring Fujinami to the mound against their Yasuhiro Ogawa. The hopes are that Fujinami can get over his problems, which also include giving up runs in the first inning. Guess what? He did it, folks. He had a clean first inning. Of course, so did Ogawa. But in the second inning, we got one run off of Ogawa, and it was on a Toritani RBI single straight up the middle. That was preceded by a Fumihito Haraguchi double, kind of a bloop double. Anyways, 1-0 Hanshin. But Fujinami decided that his new first inning would be the third. So in the third inning, he was a mess of a mess. 3 walks included in all this, but a Yuhei RBI hit for 2 runs, an Imanami RBI triple for 2 runs, 4-1. And actually, the next inning, in the fourth inning, Fujinami walked the first guy, and that was the end of his outing, guy. So 4-1, we bring in Nioma Matsuda to relieve him. Chokeaholic. A 3-run opposite field home run to Tetsuto Yamada in the bottom of the sixth makes the score 7-1. And this one looks all but out of reach. Except in the bottom of the seventh, we kind of put a little bit of something-something together to try and make this one interesting. So Campbell gets a hit. Toritani gets a hit. We've got runners on first and second. And then Itohara's out. Umino is swapped for Itoi. Ito Hayata. He also gets a hit. It does not score a run. So now we've got runners on first and we've got runners on all the bases. And Ogawa's out of the game for them. And Nakatani gets hit by a pitch. So we get a run. Takayama hits a sac fly, so we get another run. So now it's 7-3. There's still just one out. 2 outs, I should say. Pardon me. And Uemoto comes in with a big chance, and he grounds out to shortstop. So 7-3, and they get one back in the bottom of the inning. Yep. It was another hit off of QG. So 8-3, this one is a final. 8-3, our losing streak is 3 games. Oh boy, we're starting to fall downhill. So again, Fujinami, terrible control. He plunked a guy in the second. He walked their pitcher to lead off the third. And then actually, I think Matsuda or somebody else walked the pitcher again. So there you have it. Let's see. Again, we had no errors. Again, we got the loss. So three straight games with no errors, but no win. What's going on? Our veterans, two of them hit into double plays. That being Itoi and Toritani. By the way, Matsuda after this game got farmed. And we'll move into Sunday because we're tired of talking about losses. And this one is one that is worth talking long about because it was a fun game in some senses. So let's get down to the action. We bring rookie Taiki Ono to the mound and they have rookie Tomoya Hoshi on the mound. And Ono, you know, is known for having a great fastball, supposedly. But he allowed that great fastball to be hit a great distance. Once again, Ballantine smokes it 2-0, and that's in the second inning. We got those right back, though. It was really cool because Takayama and Uemoto hit back-to-back home runs with no outs in the top of the third. So 2-2. But the bottom of the third, Ono, again with the fastball. Again, you know, probably Sakaguchi was just sitting there waiting. By the way, Ballantine's was on a 3-0 count. Sakaguchi's was on a 2-2 count, but I think he was just waiting fastball. Sakaguchi, he who has never hit a home run as a swallow in a year and a third, crushes one to right field for his first swallows home run. That tells you something. So it is 3-2, and the damage gets worse in the fifth inning. This one coming courtesy of Tetsuto Yamada. And this was still with Ono in the game with no outs and a runner on second base. So he allowed four runs in his debut, four and a third innings. I think he struck out five, which is not too bad. But yeah, he leaves the game down. Kuwahara comes in and finishes off the fifth inning, finishes off the sixth inning. It's still 4-2. But then the seventh inning, top of the seventh, things start to happen. So we got some action going on here. I think it was with one out. Let me just double check here. With one out, Campbell gets the walk. Hayata comes in and he hits a double. So now runners on second and third. And Takayama chops one up the middle. It stays in the infield, but he gets to second base, or pardon me, to first base safely. And a run scores. So now it's 4-3. Runners on first and third. Uemoto comes and hits a soft one to shortstop, and it was a little bit north of shortstop, so he had to move towards the third base side to make the play. He threw to second base, runner was safe, runner scores, so it's 4-4. Still just one out. Runners on first and second now. Itoi comes in, advances the runners to second and third on a grounder, and they decide that they are going to intentionally walk Kosuke Fukudome. Fukudome has been having a terrible game at the plate. And either way you look at it, you've got two outs, so you don't have to draw in your outfield. You don't have to draw in your infield. You just have to get one out. I don't know. I don't know what the rationale was here. By the way, Hoshi has left the game at this point, and they've got Josh Lukey in, everybody's favorite therapist. And they say, okay, intentional walk. And so Nakamura, their catcher, is standing to catch the balls. First one he catches, ball one. Second one he has to reach up to catch, ball two. Third one he has to jump to not catch, ball three, but also wild pitch and the go-ahead run scores from third base. Ouch. Well, they continue the at-bat. They do walk Fukudome, and then unfortunately Nakatani wasn't able to cash in any more runners. He flied out to second base, but we got the lead, which is amazing. And the way that we got the lead on that wild pitch is just crazy. Well, anyhow, we bring in Iwazaki for the seventh. And he does a good job on four hitters. He walked one, but he struck out Yuhei to end the inning. And then in the eighth inning, we got Mateo going three straight. Got them out 1-2-3. Meanwhile, our hitters aren't doing anything in the eighth or in the ninth inning. In the bottom of the ninth, this is where, again, it gets exciting and dramatic. So this is Dolis on the mound. He's had a decent amount of rest this week. I think he's shown up in one game so far. And Obiki hits one right back to him. Dolis looked like he could have had it. He didn't. It glanced off his glove, and it was an infield hit. But Dolis was mad at himself. You could see it. He pulled off his cap. He looked like he was going to throw it to the ground. He was pretty upset. But he continues, and Ueda comes in and goes for the sack bunt. Pops it up. Dolis isn't able to reach it quite in time, so it bounces. Dolis tries to field it with his glove. It pops out of his glove and into foul territory. So That's another one that he could have, should have had. And so it's no outs, runners on first and second, and he's looking a little bit frazzled, but not fully. Sakaguchi comes in and goes for the bunt, and Umino fields it really quickly. Could have gotten the runner at third base, but Tori-san was not on third base. He was coming in to try and get that ball. So the bunt, that is to say. And so we got the runner at first anyway. So one out, runners on second and third. That's not a good situation in the bottom of the ninth when all they need now is a hit to potentially walk off the field winners. To make things worse, Dolis with pinch hitter Omatsu up at the dish. You know, Dolis brings his best stuff. He throws some really close pitches, but they were called balls, and he ended up walking him. Now, you know, we don't get the ump's vantage point, so I'm not going to criticize the ump. Some of those pitches looked like they could have been strikes, but they weren't. Anyhow, bases loaded, one out. Look out, because guess who's coming up? Tetsuto Yamada. By the way, the Swallows have two walk-off grand slams this season, which is the first time, I think, in Central League history that a team has ever done that in the same season. Well, here's a chance for a third one with a big slugger coming up, and he gets a big fly ball. I mean, it was deep enough to score everybody, including himself, but it was probably about, I don't know, maybe 5 feet, maybe a couple meters foul. So definitely everybody had a big lump in their throat and a big knot in their stomach and had the shivers when that ball was hit. But fortunately, it came back to being a showdown between Dolis and Yamada. And Dolis got him with a high inside slider, I think it was, and a half-hearted swing by Yamada. Two outs, and then Yuhei, he's got a chance as well. But Dolis smokes a 155-kilometer-an-hour fastball past him. That's about, what, 97 on the radar gun, maybe, in for you American folk? So that's it. Strikeout, game over, win preserved. Lucky win, wouldn't you say? I mean, wild pitch to win it. And then that ninth inning, just crazy stuff. So one more thing that I want to mention, or two more things. One, Itoi is now hitless in 20 or 21 at-bats. So that's a pretty serious slump. You know, there's talk of him maybe needing a day off, and I definitely wouldn't disagree with that. The other one I wanted to mention was this. In the bottom of the sixth, their pitcher, Hoshi, was due up at the dish. And he had, I think, 109 pitches at this point. He's a rookie, keep in mind. So, you know, he may not have the stamina that the veterans have or the know-how. But I think the Swallows got cocky. They left him in. They left him at the plate to hit. They left him in the seventh. He got himself into trouble. I mean, he allowed the walk to Campbell and then the hit to Hayata to make it runners second and third. And Anyhow. So if they had pulled Hoshi, if they had gone with a pinch hitter, even though there were two outs and the base is empty, you know, you could have said, hey, Hoshi, you know, 109 pitches, just two runs against, just those two solo home runs. Good job. You know, hit the showers and the bullpen will take care of it. No. They let him get himself into trouble. And then, no, they let Lukey come in and blow the whole thing. So thanks, Swallows. Thanks for that charity win at the end of the week. You know, fortunately, that ends our losing streak at 3. It ended the Swallows' win streak at 4, and we're still on top of the standings with 2.5-game lead over the Hiroshima Carp. That's less important than the fact that we're still 10 games over 500, and that's the number that I think is way more important than how many games of a lead we have, because at this point, I mean, with 100 and some games left, it doesn't matter if the lead is 2.5, 3.5, 1.5, half. It don't matter. We just need to keep winning games. That's all. That's all we can take care of. So there you have it. That was the week that was. How did you enjoy your baseball this week? Hope you all had a great week.
This is your week.
And speaking of great weeks, let's talk about our player of the week. So, here we go. I have Randy Messenger as one of my honorable mentions. He went 8 innings pitched and struck out 12 and was a tough luck loss loser on Thursday. But another runner-up, honorable mention, goes to Takumi Akiyama. I almost want to give it to him because he threw the first complete game of the season for the Hanshin Tigers, and that was on Tuesday at the game I was at. You know, he went 9 innings, 6 hits, 1 walk, plunked batsman, 1 earned run, and 12 strikeouts. So incredible line from him. But I'm going to give it to the guy that hit the Heroes podium twice. That would be Shun Takayama. Not the most incredible week, you know, but he went 7 for 23. Good for a 304 batting average. He hit two home runs. Those were both at Jingu Stadium. So he's got three home runs on the season, all of them at Jingu. He had five RBI on the week. And so that is it. I think Shun, last year's Golden Rookie, gets my Player of the Week.
Huh? What? What's this Wacky Tomoaki?
Yeah, this one, I don't know if we can call it Wacky Tomoaki so much as, like, good Lord, Akoda. The pitching coach. And this one, we've got a couple things that I say are kind of boneheaded by Koda. The first one is I really didn't agree with them pulling Nomi after three soft hits in the seventh inning of that Wednesday game, which we ended up winning. So, you know, all's well that ends well. But 75 pitches for Nomi into a real jam, and he had a chance to go the distance. And like I said, he wasn't getting hit hard or anything like that. So fortunately, Kuwahara came in and bailed him out, and it worked out well, but I disagree with the pulling there. And then Koda in, I think it was the next game. No, it was that same game. Kuwahara was starting the eighth inning then. He went back out to the mound to start his warm-up pitches, and Koda tried to send out the relief car. You know, the little smart car that drives from the bullpen out to the corner, to the edge of the infield. And he had Takahashi in there. And the car came out, started to pull out, and then the ump said, "What are you guys doing? You can't do this. I mean, your pitcher has already taken to the mound to do some warm-up. You cannot change pitcher until he's faced at least one batter unless the other team goes for a pinch hitter," which they didn't. And so that was Koda not knowing the rules. So I say, bonehead, that's the Wacky Tomoaki. Sorry, Kanemoto. Sorry to use your name in vain, but that's it. For the hot topic this week, I would like to look at the action that's going to start next week, that being interleague play, where we're going to be playing 18 games against Pacific League teams. What that means is that 9 of the games are going to be played in Pacific League parks. 9 of them will be played at Koshien Stadium. And I don't want to look at the matchup previews. I don't want to look at the other teams. What I do want to look at, and the reason I'm doing this a week ahead, is because it'll give us some time to think about it and time for you all to throw some comments back and forth with me on the Facebooks, on the Twitters, anywhere you want. What are we going to do when it comes to playing in those Pacific League fields for our DH? Now, we get to use the DH finally, and this is one season in which I would say we actually have a decent amount of hitters. Nobody that's, you know, outstanding, but we've got guys that could stand to be DHs in these situations. And who are we going to use? Or, you know, what are we going to do about it? Now, there are all sorts of possibilities, and I think the most obvious one, and probably the one we're going to go with, is I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, us rotate out some of our fielders and give them some days off from being in the field. For example, Fukudome may end up being a DH once or twice. Itoi may end up being a DH once or twice. Toritani may even end up being a DH once or twice. You know, these guys that have got a lot of mileage on their legs may end up being pulled to give them a bit of rest, but also keep their valuable bats in the lineup. That would not surprise me one bit. Now, looking at who we've got on our bench currently, who could be the DH, guys that are not starting in games, that is, because, you know, if we do give Itoi the DH role, then we need a center fielder. If we give Fukudome the DH role, it's, you know, we need a right fielder, and so on. So our bench guys right now, Hayata Ito is hitting very well so far this year. I mean, in very limited action, but he's 4 for 9 at the plate with a double and a home run. So he's got some pretty good numbers just in that limited playing time. And, you know, he is definitely a candidate. But I personally would say don't use him as a replacement for Itoi, for sure not Itoi, and even not Fukudome, because he, if I remember correctly, is a terrible fielder. So if you're going to use him as DH, literally DH him. But he's not a bad choice. He's a left-handed bat, and he brings a decent amount of power, and he's not a liability on the base pass either. So that's one option. Yamato's another option. He's been a backup for most of the games. He's played in a few. He's gotten some starts, but I don't see him as a DH. And even if he comes in and plays the field to give someone else some time off, it probably won't be Toritani, in which case the guy that he's replacing probably won't be DH. Another option would be to either use Haraguchi or Nakatani. Those two have been rotating, you know, they've been platooning first base. So there is the option of using the Gooch or Nakatani. Both of them have decent power. Both of them are probably, you know, they are definitely not plus runners. They are not huge liabilities, but they certainly don't have a great amount of speed. But they could be used, you know, one or the other could be the DH while the other takes the field. So that is another option as far as guys that we have up on the top squad. The other ones would be Taiga Egoshi, who has gotten very limited time, and he wouldn't be a bad option at DH because, you know, when his bat is working, he's pretty good. He's also a guy that could stand to replace Itoi or Fukudome. And by the way, Nakatani could also do that. So we could, for example, use Nakatani in the outfield, Haraguchi at first base, and still have Itoi or Fukudome as the DH. So there's all sorts of options there. Another one that I haven't mentioned, or a couple of guys we haven't mentioned, that would be Hojo, Fumiya Hojo, who has seen his playing time decrease significantly. We've had Itohara playing a lot of starting shortstop, and even Yamato a couple of times. So he's an option. I'd love to see him bounce back and get more chance, more you know, reps on the field or at the plate or whatever. And then Araki, he's probably not DH material or even field replacement to make room for a DH material. He has been a defensive replacement more often than not, or a pinch runner. Let's move on then to the farm, and here are some other guys that could get the call up in order to give us a little bit more juice at the plate. So the first one is, where is this Kano guy? What is going on with him? Keisuke Kano, who was our pinch hitter, you know, for the past couple of seasons, he was kind of our first option or our big option. Well, on the farm right now, he's batting .297 with two home runs. So not bad. We also have Ryota Arai, who is batting .365. He has batted a bit less than Kano, not a whole lot less, with one home run and five RBIs. So he's another option from the farm. The other one would be the big slugger, Naomasa Yokawa, who is hitting .265, but he also has seven home runs, which far and away is the team lead. Other guys that are, you know, rotting away on the farm, pardon the expression, Ryota Imanari, what you doing, buddy? He's got two home runs on the farm, but he's still only batting .243, so that's pretty pathetic. If you cannot hit the farm pitchers from other teams for a good average, you're probably not going to make it on the top squad. And then people are wondering, what about Yusuke Oyama, our top pick from last season? He's also batting .225 with a home run and 12 RBIs, so, you know, some decent situational hitting, it seems, but, you know, maybe not so good of an average yet. Maybe he needs some more time. The other one, what has happened to Itayama, right? Well, he's only batting .189 down on the farm as well. So he definitely needs a bit more work as well. So that's that. Those are the options. But did you all notice I purposely left out my choice for who I think should be our DH or a field replacement more often than not during the interleague? And that is none other than Eric Campbell. Campbell has been up on the top team for about a month now. Anyways, he is batting .261 with just 25 plate appearances. So he is 6 for 23 with a couple of walks, with 8 strikeouts, 1 double, no home runs, and 2 RBI. .320 on-base percentage. Why would I choose him over some of these other names and some of the other names that sounded pretty good? Well, I think one of the main reasons is that Campbell, you know, much like Haig last year and much like, you know, a lot of the foreigners that we've had in the past 5 years or 10 years or 50 years, these are guys that, you know, they don't have it super easy. I mean, they're used to facing the major league style of pitching. They're used to being able to speak the language. They're used to being able to eat the foods they want to eat. They're used to being able to live in the comfort of their homes and so on and so forth. So coming over to Japan is a big, it's a big challenge. It's not as big as it used to be. You know, there's a whole lot more available for them to be able to go out for, you know, proper international foods, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, there's the cultural adjustment. You know, when you're in the clubhouse, hey, have you guys seen Eric Campbell in the dugout? He looks like a pretty lonely guy. I mean, he's got the interpreter that he can talk to, and then nobody else is fluent in English, really. You know, because Messenger is usually not in the dugout except for the days that he's pitching. And then, you know, Dolis and Mateo, they're hanging out in the bullpen. And even then, they're not first language English speakers. In fact, Mateo, I don't think, speaks English. Anyways, that's a big sidetrack. What I was trying to say was this. Campbell needs some reps at the dish. Hanshin acquired Eric Campbell for a reason. If they acquired him so that he could, you know, come up to the plate 25 times and play in just 11 games part-time in a month, then they're foolish. That was a big mistake. That's clearly not why. And clearly, after 11 games and, 25 plate appearances and a couple of errors, that's not enough time to know if you've got the guy that you were hoping you got. He needs to go out there and either prove himself to be worthy or prove himself not worthy. And this would be the perfect opportunity because this is, you know, the time that we need an extra bat. Kanemoto has said, Campbell's not really doing anything wrong. It's just that we don't have any place for him. And that's true, right? I mean, Toritani is our best full-time hitter right now. He's batting .306. And, you know, his on-base percentage is .406. Well, you can't pull him out of the lineup for any, you know, lengthy period of time and hope to be successful. So Toritani is definitely a valuable asset at third base. Well, if Campbell's not playing third, he's going to play first, probably. Well, first base right now, we've got Haraguchi, who, you know, is a valuable bat, and Nakatani, who is also, you know, he's tied for the team lead with 5 home runs. Haraguchi, by the way, has 3. You know, these are guys that are very valuable to the team. They're young. They are definitely going to be a big part of the team's future. So it's hard to plug Campbell in regularly at first base too, you know, and have both Nakatani and Haraguchi sitting. So this is the chance that the team has been waiting for, to give Campbell shots to stand at the plate and see 3-4 at-bats in a game. You know, right now he's been pinch hitting lately, get 1 at-bat, and if you strike out and people start to say, you see, Campbell's useless. Yeah, well, how many guys strike out in their first at-bat of the game? Quite a few, or at least ground out or fly out or whatever, right? Give a guy 3 at-bats, 4 at-bats, give him that 3 or 4 times a week, and all of a sudden you got a different hitter. You got a guy that can get into a rhythm or into a groove. So this is it. I mean, if they're going to cut Campbell at season's end or partway through the season, there's got to be reason. There's got to be better reason than just, oh, you know, in his 23 at-bats, he only got 6 hits or whatever. The other thing is, you know, as the season goes on and as summer rolls around, it gets hotter, players get more tired, and there's more injuries piling up, we're going to need Eric Campbell's bat. We're going to need him in the field as well, I believe. I really believe it. So my call on Interleague is, as much as possible, plug Soup in. Let's see what he can do. What are your thoughts? Give me some comments, either on the website, on the Facebook page, on Twitter. Who do you think should get the bulk of the DH duties, and what kind of situation do you see this happening? I mean, are we going to replace our fielders and use our regular fielders as DHs, or are we going to bring in a guy from the bench to be the DH? Give me your thoughts. I would love to hear what you think. Here we go. We are trying to predict the final week of action before we go into Interleague. So it's all at Koshien, and it's looking like the weather is going to be pretty good for much of the week, so hopefully we get all 6 games in. We're hosting the Yomiuri Giants for the classic series, Dentou no Issen. Dentou no Sansen. It's 3 games. Anyways, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, probably we will bring Akiyama, Nomi, Messenger to the mound. Probably they will bring Sugano, Otake, Miyaguni to the mound. Now, Sugano, last time we got the better of him, we beat him in his home park. And then Otake, we did pretty well. We hit pretty well, but we lost because Iwasada pooped the bed. So, and Miyaguni we have not faced this year, so we're not sure. But he had a good outing last week against, I think it was the Bay Stars. But overall, he's not an outstanding pitcher. Well, without, shooting myself in the foot too early here, I'm going to say that Sugano is going to take the first game. I think Nomi is going to get his second win of the game in the second one, and then Messenger will get the win in the third one. I think we're going to go 2 out of 3 against these Giants. And then, for the Bay Stars, I'm not sure what we're going to do because Iwasada got farmed, and so Friday, are we going to move Fujinami up one day, or are we going to keep him on Saturday? Who are we going to replace Iwasada with? Now, Ono has come up, but Ono is also replacing Fukunaga slash Yokoyama slash whoever was the sixth starter before, and it sounds like Ono is going to get another start on Sunday. So my guess is maybe Aoyagi on Friday. He's been doing all right on the farm, and then Fujinami Saturday, and then Ono on Sunday. And it looks like we could be facing Shoichi Ino for the third time this year. Klein, I forget his first name, Joe Klein, maybe? And then Shota Imanaga. You know what? We have been kicking the Bay Stars around, and they have been kicking themselves around. They've been doing pretty bad lately. They find themselves right now, I think, tied for fourth place, tied for fifth place, kind of same thing. So I don't know. I mean, our pitchers, I'm not really feeling too good about, you know, with Aoyagi with terrible control, Fujinami with terrible control, and Ono, who got hit around pretty badly. But I'm still going to say 2-1. I think our bats are going to do it. I mean, we have been doing it all year to these Bay Stars, all year, meaning that we're 5-1 against them so far in the year. So let's do it. 4-2 week heading into Interleague. That would put us at 12 games above 500. But I'll tell you this, even if we're 10 games above 500 at the start of Interleague, like if you were to tell me that at the start of the season, hey, Hanshin's going to be 10 games above 500 when it goes to Interleague, when Interleague starts, I'd have been pretty happy with that. So I say 4-2, and even a 3-3, I'll be happy with. How about you? What are your thoughts? Well, I'm continuing to try to add friends of the site's pictures on the website during the recaps. And you know, you probably have noticed that a lot of the pictures that we take, that we add for the recaps, you know, they're all taken from the state, from the stands. And so we don't get a lot of close-ups of players, but you know, I do want to make this a community work. I do want your, you know, your pictures to be contributions to the H10 community. So if you're going to be at any games, you know, bring your camera, bring your smartphone, snap some pictures, and feel free to share them with me. I would love for you to send them off to thehunchingtigers@gmail.com. That would be much appreciated. If you're going to the game this Thursday, that would be May the 25th. Hit me up. I'm going to be there. I may not get there too early, but I would love to be able to meet up with you either during the game, after the game, whatever. So, you know, hit us up. We are going to beat some Giants on that day because it's going to be Randy Messenger taking the mound, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you once again for your time, your passion for the Tigers. You can find this podcast, extra news, articles, and more at www.thehunchingtigers.com, home of H10. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and hopefully iTunes is going to work. The feed is going to work. Fingers crossed. 2 weeks in a row, it was late. I apologize. But, you know, subscribe there, and hopefully it's going to be, you know, a regular in your feed. If not, the backup plan is Stitcher, or even straight from the website, but you can go to Stitcher. You can subscribe there as well. Just type in the four magic words, Hanshin Tigers English News. Subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the website, write a review, share with friends and enemies. Get all the news instantly by following us on Facebook. Every website update gets fed to Facebook. Every bit of news that I don't have time to make into a website article gets put on Facebook. Search for Hanshin Tigers English News and you'll find us there. Add to our community there. We're almost up to 500, folks. You can follow T-Ray on Twitter at The Hanshin Tiger. Until next time, keep cheering until the birds at Koshien learn to behave themselves. Have a great week, everyone.